This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to discuss the Afghanistan history, the anniversary, the debacle, the embarrassment tonight. We're going to talk to Brittany Mayer about the border, things going on there. Is Donald Trump going to prison on September 18th? All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Three years ago, the Taliban took over Afghanistan. And I understand there are all kinds of other things in the news today. We're going to get to the Trump sentencing and the border and things like that. But we just felt obligated to say something in the open about Afghanistan. You know, the guys who served there lost their lives there, lost their limbs there. They deserve so much better than what they've gotten. They deserve a reckoning. They deserve not just a recognition of what they did, the people who crapped on what they did, shortchanged them, they deserve to be called out too. You know, I got back from Iraq 2004, I got back from Iraq because my 4 years in the Marine Corps was up. And remember, that was kind of the beginning of the global war on terror. Right. So when I got back, I got out of the Marine Corps. I had some problems, stomach problems, little things. Don't worry, I'm fine. But I needed to start going to the VA, VA hospital. And I was living in Tucson at the time. And I would go to the VA hospital, get checked out, go get a physical, go get this appointment, that appointment. And when I first started going to the VA in 04, 05, I noticed I was really one of the youngest guys, patients, I mean, in the whole place. Because think about it, prior to the global war on terror, it was all Vietnam veterans, Korean War veterans, the World War II guys were still around back then. So I was fairly young, and the other patients, I'd be sitting in a waiting room and looking around, and the other patients, they're all older, old men, 60s, 70s, 80s, old men. And it was wonderful being around them. But as I kept going and kept going for a few years, they kept getting younger. They started to look like me. And I was blessed by God to come back with all my fingers and toes and hands and come back in one piece physically for the most part. A lot of these guys were wheeling themselves around the VA, no legs, eye gone, arm gone, arms gone. And young men, I was 24, 25 years old, mid-20s somewhere, men my age, maimed, for the rest of their lives, and many of them maimed in Afghanistan. And I wanted to just say that because as you're sitting here watching me on the first, you know, you're living your life, I live my life, but that 25-year-old is, Lord willing, if he's still alive, took care of himself. He's my age now, 43, and he's never got to play baseball with his kids. He needs a special car if he's even going to drive, if he's even able to at all. If he can't afford a specialty smart home, then his wife has to help him use the bathroom for the rest of his life. The rest of his life is changed because we went to war in Afghanistan. And that brings me to this. The leaders, political leaders, Democrats, Republicans, military leaders, generals, admirals, the ones responsible for taking 20 years of service and sacrifice and spitting all over those people, all over them. And I'll never forget the anger. You probably remember I was screaming and yelling that day when Afghanistan fell. Because, look, Afghanistan was going to fall. The Taliban were too tough for the loser Afghan security forces we'd been training for so long, so it was going to fall. But we just yanked all our guys out of Bagram. We, of course, left a bunch of ISIS terrorists in the jail on Bagram. They were, of course, set free immediately. And then the country begins to fall, and Joe Biden couldn't even be bothered to go to work.
Where is the president? You know, why isn't he communicating fulsomely to the American people?
The president has been deeply engaged in all of the policy conversations.
Totally different story than a few weeks ago, right? I mean, why isn't he out there now? Kabul fell yesterday. Where is the president?
Brianna, the president has spoken to this extensively, and I expect that he will speak to it again soon.
Soon, in the coming days, should we hear something from him today? Do you expect that? It seems like the moment demands that.
I'm not going to get ahead of both decision-making and any announcements on this. All I can say at this point is that we expect the president again to address the American people on Afghanistan, and as soon as we have more to say about that, we will.
While 20 years of service and sacrifice were being flushed down the drain by Joe Biden and his administration, he was on the beach. He was on the beach. Remember Antony Blinken, Secretary of State? He was also on vacation. Jen Psaki, Press Secretary, on vacation. 20 years of service and sacrifice thrown away, and the people throwing it away couldn't be bothered to put down the suntan lotion and come into work. And just thinking about it all over again, it angers me to no end. And we're not gonna let Dome get away with acting like she wasn't involved either. Whether or not what she's about to say here was true or not, it was probably a lie. She couldn't wait to run to the cameras and own the entire thing.
President Biden always said that he wants you to be the last person in the room, particularly for big decisions, just as he was for President Obama. He just made a really big decision, Afghanistan.
Yes.
Were you the last person in the room?
Yes.
And you feel comfortable?
I do.
Couldn't wait to brag while our people were dying, while 20 years was thrown away. And speaking of her, I'm just so grossed out by the people who lead this country. Honestly, both parties for the most part. But I will say this, Donald Trump, to his credit, is out there every day. He's doing rallies, he's in diners, he's speaking to people. Kamala Harris, on top of everything else that's wrong with her, has so little respect for you, so little regard for the American citizen. She won't even speak to a reporter because she just doesn't feel like she has to. Of all people, Jim Acosta, maybe the biggest loser in the United States of America, even he's practically begging these people to do an interview.
Would it kill you guys to have a press conference? Why hasn't she had a press conference?
Listen, the vice president and Governor Walz have been busy crisscrossing this country.
A campaign rally is not a press conference. Why hasn't she had a press conference? She's the vice president. She can handle the questions. Why not do it?
We absolutely are going to do it. You hear her take questions as she's out on the stump. And she's, as she said last week, we're going to be having a sit-down interview here before the end of the month.
I don't want to, you know, belabor this, but one interview before the end of the month. I mean, that's not a lot. I mean, can you commit to a press conference before the end of the month?
We will commit to directly engage with the voters that are actually going to decide this election. And that is going to be complete with rallies, with sit-down interviews, with press conferences, with all the digital assets that we have at our disposal.
They just don't give a crap about you at all. They don't even pretend. And I sit back and I think about the potential of that woman being the next president. And I will address her poll numbers here in just a little bit. And I know a lot of people are panicking right now. We're going to talk about that. But there is a chance, of course, that she is the next president of the United States of America. And I sit back and I think about the people who would look at that woman. How could you possibly look at that woman and send a person like that into office? Whatever you think about Donald Trump, how could you go vote? Who are the people who will go vote for Kamala Harris? And these are the people.
Today, we're trying to find out from the attendees what Kamala Harris's greatest accomplishment has been as VP.
I mean, honestly, I'm not too into politics. I'm just here for the vibe.
Becoming the first female vice president.
So becoming the VP is the best accomplishment?
Yeah, absolutely.
Being a good person.
Being a good person?
Yeah. She seems really good for women.
Harris is there with the energy. She has a lot of enthusiasm, so it's important to get behind her.
What is Kamala's, like, top accomplishment, you think?
I can't say anything right now. Give me a second.
her top contributions to policy or policy as VP.
I wasn't in on the policy making decisions with President Biden, so I don't know.
They don't even know. They don't even know. That's where we're at as a country. We might actually lose to those people. Think about that. Those people and people like this.
Why are y'all voting for Kamala Harris?
I don't want to lose my rights. Like, I'm a trans man and I'm gay and I have been pregnant and I've had an abortion before and I don't want to lose that. I'm afraid of not being able to be myself anymore because from what I've heard, Trump's America doesn't want me to look like this. So that's why I'm here today and that's why I'm voting blue.
What about you?
I've also been pregnant and had an abortion before. I was a minor and it would have been dangerous for me to properly, like, it would have been dangerous for me to carry a baby with, like, personal reasons and everything.
Good grief. That's where we're at. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Brittany Mayer, she has more info. She's always a wealth of information. She has info on the border, what's going on out there. We'll talk to Brittany in just a moment. Before we talk to Brittany, we are obviously in a battle here, a cultural battle. And the bad news is we're surrounded. The good news is that means there's a million ways to fight, right? Like the Marines at Chosin Reservoir. Chesty Puller said, we're surrounded. That simplifies our problem. We can attack them anywhere we want. Where we spend and don't spend our money matters politically now. Now that the corporate world has chosen to get involved in the culture war, almost always against us, that means we now can fight that battle where we spend, where we buy goods and services. Who provides your cell phone service? Do you pay Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile to crap all over your values in your country? Pure Talk would never do that to you. Pure Talk loves this country. Their CEO is a veteran. They hire Americans. Go to puretalk.com/jessetv and switch. It's easy. You can keep your phone. You can keep the same phone. Keep the same phone number. You just switch your service provider. You'll pay less, a lot less, and support a company who shares your values. Go switch today. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Policies. Oh my gosh. See, I wish they would tell us more about that because I honestly don't know. I know she's done some good work with immigration, even though they say opposite.
What do they say?
Well, what is it? She's the border czar.
The fake border czar.
It's her fault that all these immigrants are coming over, you know, to cross the border right now, which I don't think they are.
People have been saying that Kamala is the border czar, or whatever that means. Is there an issue at the border? Has Kamala done anything about it? Or was there not anything to do about it, and so they're just kind of making things up?
So I don't think there's an issue with the border at all. They say the border crisis is causing all these drug issues and is causing crime, but in my opinion, there's crime everywhere. You can go to New York, you can go to Canada, you can go anywhere across the world, and there's going to be crime regardless.
Sometimes I just think we're screwed. Joining me now, Brittany Mayer, independent reporter, founder of Rooted Wings. Hey, Brittany. How are things at the border? Because these brain-dead drones don't think there's any problems at all.
I just want to know where these people came from. Are they living, I mean, honestly, are they living in a cave? Because I will tell you what, I live in San Diego, California, and my beat is consistently the border. And I actually just got breaking numbers in for you, Jesse, so you get it hot off the press. We, as of October, here in San Diego, California, have brought in 200,000 illegal foreigners. That only counts those who check themselves in. So it doesn't include anyone who sneaks in by dark of night. It doesn't include the boat crashers that we have consistently been getting on our sand. We are looking at over 155,000 single adults, primarily male, who have been invading us here in San Diego, and it has enormously changed the safety and the horizon of what it looks like to be in San Diego, California. So in terms of what those people said, it's sad because they're just clearly not informed and they're not staying current with what's actually happening to our nation right now.
I can't believe they've just completely trashed one of our great cities. Gosh, I've had some good times in San Diego back when I was a young, stupid Marine. Okay, Brittany, describe the city itself, because I remember the San Diego I had fun in back in the day. What has happened? What's it like? What's daily life like? How's it changed?
It's so sad. Yeah, you remember the good old days, as do I. I'm a native San Diegan, and I remember even just as a young adult being able to go downtown San Diego and feel relatively safe. it is a whole new world. We have so much, the homelessness is out of control right now. There are tent cities all over San Diego, California. We have drug use that is, it's just an open market for drug use. It's really become just an unsafe environment to where now, if I was a young adult, I would not feel safe as a woman downtown in San Diego. But get this, we as taxpayers down here in San Diego are paying annually $5 million for attorney fees for these illegal foreigners who come through our border. So not only are we bringing them in and providing sanctuary status, which is largely in part due to Kamala Harris, but on top of that, we're saying, hey, come on in, invade us like Normandy, and then we're going to pay for your legal fees.
Yeah, you know what? Focus on that Kamala Harris, her role in all this. What did she do in California that has helped this process along for the illegals?
Yeah, so, you know, we're living through the revising of Kamala right now. Time magazine just threw her up on their cover looking, you know, as Trump said, looking beautiful, looking like she's shiny and new, and she's not at all a part of the destruction of America over the last 4 years. But her reputation precedes her, and it goes back to 2004 when she became the DA of San Francisco. Nothing good comes from San Francisco, California. San Francisco has spit out Kamala Harris. It spit out Gavin Newsom. We have Pelosi. We have Senator Scott Wiener. But Kamala Harris got her start in San Francisco. She was a champion. This was two decades in the making of California being a sanctuary state. That's what she ran on. So for her to now say that she's going to, you know, champion securing our border, it's just not reality. For 20 years, she has pried open our border and championed bringing in illegal foreigners by the droves.
Speaking of by the drove, it's being reported now, New York Times, many other places, that immigrants are becoming citizens at the fastest clip in U.S. history. And wow, Brittany, that is amazing because it seems like it's right before an election. How convenient is that?
Yeah, it's concerning, especially concerning the news that just broke. Apparently, it happened 4 months ago that almost all American Social Security IDs were stolen. And in many states, those are a piece of the puzzle in order for you to be able to vote. So it's all very convenient timing. I think that Americans need to be on high alert that what we are seeing right now is subversive communism being put on the ballot. And if Christians specifically, I'm going to speak to Christians right now. If Christians don't realize what's at stake, that we have a ticket who is hellbent on murdering our most innocent all the way up to birth. And who knows what happens with botched abortion survivors. Kamala Harris's track record on that is despicable. We have that on the ballot. We have gender bending our kids and creating complete confusion. You know, Tim Walz threw tampons in boys' bathrooms and people want to joke about that, but it's actually very serious that we are targeting our youth and indoctrinating them with this complete dystopian lie that boys can become girls, that we have inflation at record high. You know, people want to say inflation's coming down. It's because, you know, you look at it as gaining weight. If you've consistently gained weight over 4 years and then you're like, oh, but this month, instead of gaining 11 pounds, we only gained 3 pounds. Okay, you're still gaining weight. And we're so swollen right now on inflation that now you have Kamala Harris coming out saying that she's going to price gouge. This is subversive communism. She is all about equity, opening up our borders, really diminishing what makes America special and what makes being an American citizen special. So if Christians don't realize that we are called to be salt and light, we are to push back against evil, we are to be the antidote to darkness, then we're going to lose this election. And it's going to get a hell of a lot worse for America.
Yeah, and speaking of gaining weight, all the legions of single feminists who are going to crawl across broken glass specifically so they can murder their babies. It really is. Well, you know what? Here's a good video of it, courtesy of Libs at TikTok. I want every Christian to pay attention to this video right here.
I am at St. John Paul II Catholic Church in Thornton, Colorado. A guy came up to me and told me that we needed to vote for Trump. And I told him if Trump wins, I would leave the country. I also told him that Basically, the 2025 plan would take away many of my rights. Well, he got mad. I tell you, these right-wing Christians are the most dangerous people on earth, and they are not your friend if you disagree with them. You are the enemy. What does that tell you about where we are as a country? It's not safe.
Brittany, 30% of American Christians aren't even registered to vote. This is something that I scream about all the time. It's enough to make my freaking head pop off. We sit in the pews on Sunday and learn about right and wrong and good and evil, and people can't even get off the couch to go vote in elections. What is wrong with America's feminized Christianity?
Yeah, it's a huge, huge problem. We are entering uncharted territory for America, and I don't say that to be an alarmist. I am a student of communism, because if we don't know our enemy, then we can't defeat it. I think we have lightened the reality of the times in which we are living in right now. We are living on the precipice of America going full throttle communist. And the reality is we have two people right now on, you know, I guess they're on the ballot. All of that with the coup that happened, we've got two people on the ballot that will bring communism into America. Their track record says that they will. And we have people like the clip that you just showed who are so ignorant to think that Christians are the threat. I'll tell you what the threat is. The threat is Christians not showing up to the ballot box in November, not getting engaged, not realizing that our role is to be the salt and the light in a world that has gone completely mad, and to restrain evil, to restrain communism, to say, no thanks, commies, we're not going to go with your way. We're going to keep the grand experiment of America, the pride of being an individual in this nation, alive and well for our future generations. But like you said, 25 million Christians in America don't vote. That's a huge, huge problem. I spoke with two pastors today, one of which who reminded me that we are not just citizens of heaven, we are also citizens of America. And if we know that there is evil and we do nothing about it, then we're just as good as salt who has lost its flavor. We have got to realize that we are not here to propose marriage to Trump or to make him our priest or pastor. This is a game of chess. And what is at stake cannot be understated. We have to take back our authorities as Christians and to engage.
Brittany, come back soon. You're always welcome. All right. We have more. We have some more. Some things you need to hear. Before we do that, I know that might have been a little bit stressful. And look, the stakes are high. But that's part of why we love this, isn't it? Isn't that part of why you wake up every day and you roll over and you grab your phone and you're looking at the stakes are high. What we care about, what we pay attention to matters. Sometimes it's hard to get a good night's sleep after a whole day of this, though, isn't it? That's what Beam's for. That's what Dream Powder from Beam is for. See, Dream Powder, it's just a cup of hot chocolate. Whenever I feel like I'm not going to sleep, too much caffeine, something, I just go make myself a cup of hot chocolate, only it's Dream Powder hot chocolate. It's got melatonin, natural things like that in it. Puts me to sleep, and when I wake up, I feel good. That's the difference with Dream Powder. When you wake up, you don't feel heavy and groggy and miserable. You feel good, like you got the best night's sleep of your life. You ready for the best night's sleep of your life? Go to shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. Go enjoy. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. That's There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, now we need to have a talk about election season, poll numbers, many things. So last night, there was a big neighborhood gathering in my neighborhood. I guess that kind of is redundant. Either way, there was a big neighborhood gathering. Okay? And everyone there knows, obviously, what I do for a living. They're all Republicans. And they were all so down. They were all so concerned. Just faces just twisted in concern, talking about the coming election, where we are as a country, Kamala Harris. There wasn't any feeling of confidence, any feeling of joy, any feeling of, hey, if we lose, we'll get through this. It was dour in there. So I felt the need to have a little talk with you about just that, because maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're feeling down. First of all, I want you to understand this and understand this very well. Poll numbers, it's not that they lie. Sometimes they lie. Sometimes they tell the truth. Poll numbers are oftentimes designed to demoralize you. I know you've been looking at the polls. Oh, my gosh, Harris is ahead in a lot of the polls. The race is tightening. Well, hold on a second. The race was always going to tighten. Here's a little tidbit for you. On this day in 2016, Hillary Clinton was up 6.8% in the polling average. That's not just one-off poll. The polling average, she was up 6.8%. She ended up losing to Donald Trump. That's not me telling you all the polls lie, but allow me to explain something politically, how this works, and I'll tell you, I ran for Congress before, twice. I may or may not have done something like this. Here's how it works. Here's what you do. This is done on a much smaller level, but I have an opponent, Democrat opponent, maybe a primary opponent, and I want to give my donors some confidence. I want to give my volunteers, I want to give them motivation. I need them to show up this Saturday. We got to go knock on doors, make phone calls, vote Jesse Kelly. I need to give them something. So I take a couple grand of campaign money. I find a pollster who will do as he's told. And he does a poll. He calls 1,000 people, 500 people. And the poll gets skewed in such a way, it's very easy to do this. You can make sure you're calling a higher percentage of Republicans than Democrats. The poll gets skewed in such a way that all of a sudden I'm putting out a press release. Oh my gosh, this poster shows Jesse. He's within 1%. He's down, but he's within 1%. It's anybody's race. And I quickly do what? My campaign staff would quickly do what? All across social media, Jesse's in striking distance. Send out to the email list. Help us push Jesse over the top. On a national scale, when you deal with presidential politics, you see so much of that and you might not even realize it. Because what do we focus on? It's a very human nature thing to do. What do we focus on? We focus on the headlines. We wake up in the morning, poll shows Harris up 10%, and our hands start shaking. Oh my gosh, call your mom, all is lost. She might have paid for that poll to motivate her base and to demoralize you. Now, I am not sitting here blowing sunshine up your whatever. I'm not sitting here telling you it's fine, we're going to win, don't worry at all. I'm here telling you it's neck and neck. Once they dumped Joe Biden, it was always going to be neck and neck. This country is sadly very evenly divided between demonic communists and normal people. This is anybody's race. Anyone can win. It is the fourth quarter. It's at the end of the game. Don't look up at the scoreboard because the other team kicked a field goal and you're down three. And look around at your teammates, look at yourself in the mirror and say, all is lost, it's hopeless. It's not at all hopeless. This is anyone's game. And allow me to leave you with this one before we move on. We have other things we want to do. This stuff matters. I know that, you know that. That's why you care about it. That's why you watch this show. That's why we do what we do. We care about the country. We care about who holds power. We care about politics. We understand the stakes. So I'm not being dismissive of that at all. Remember this, though. If you're going to base your happiness at a neighborhood party, you're going to let the mood of the neighborhood party be determined by whatever poll came out that morning. Or, come November, if you're going to base your happiness, your contentment, on whether or not Donald Trump defeats Kamala Harris, you are setting yourself up for a life of misery. We want to win. We should care. And if Trump loses in November, it should hurt us. It will hurt me. I'm assuming it hurts you. But we will pick ourselves up the next day and dust ourselves off and march on. We are not in a battle for November. We're in a battle for a nation, a cultural battle that will last 100 years, if not more. So just buckle up and settle in for the long game. They are settled in for the long game. Whether they win or lose in November, they'll be marching forward at all times. We must do the same, all right? So don't be down. It's all lost. We're gonna lose. Maybe we will lose. Maybe we won't. But it's the fourth quarter. Now's the time to embrace it and enjoy it, all right?
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
They wouldn't actually put Donald Trump in prison, right? A former president? You don't think they'll go that far, right?
I absolutely do.
man, that one, that was the shot heard around the world back in 2023 when Julie Kelly said that, and daggone, she's looking like an oracle now. Joining me now, my friend Julie Kelly. Go subscribe to her Substack, Declassified, if you want to be on top of all the legal insanity in this country. Okay, Julie, well, you were probably the first, but now we've got even guys like Andy McCarthy writing op-eds saying September 18th, Donald Trump's going to the clink in New York. What say you?
Well, of course, when we were discussing this, I was not referring to the Alvin Bragg prosecution in New York. I was really, and what we were talking about was Jack Smith's two criminal indictments against the former president for January 6th and then classified documents. Well, the classified documents case has been dropped by the judge and the J6 case is now delayed. So their only hope of trying to get Donald Trump in prison or at least sentenced to prison time is now Judge Juan Merchan. But I will say, I think that it's a little bit more complicated than some people are suggesting. And that is because Juan Merchan still has to deal with the Supreme Court's immunity ruling. And he said that he will hand down his opinion about whether presidential immunity applied in this case on September 16th. And then we'll keep the sentencing for September 18th in place. So none of this really makes sense. I would be surprised if the sentencing date even stays in place. But furthermore, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in that case because of the Supreme Court's ruling about presidential immunity.
Truly, can you help me understand this? Because it does get confusing. The Supreme Court ruled that he has immunity. Now, of course, not blanket immunity. I get that. They ruled he's immune from a lot of things. So why does the judge get to have an opinion? Didn't the Supreme Court already have an opinion, so the judge doesn't get an opinion? It's like once I've decided where we're going to eat, the kids don't get an opinion.
That's exactly right. And this demonstrates the arrogance and the partisanship of Juan Merchan. I mean, look, Jesse, what's happening on January 6th is even though Judge Chutkan there was trying to rocket docket this case back onto its proceedings because it's been delayed since December, Jack Smith had to come back and say, whoa, 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 we're still trying to figure out the Supreme Court ruling, what activity in the J6 indictment, of course, this is all conduct that happened when Donald Trump was president. What conduct is protected under immunity? What is not? Because the Supreme Court basically came back with three different buckets of immunity. So we're supposed to believe that Juan Merchan is suddenly an expert on presidential immunity from criminal prosecution. July 1, the Supreme Court comes down with this unprecedented ruling. The DOJ and Jack Smith are trying to figure it out, but yet Juan Merchan understands it more than anyone else and is going to come back September 16th. And what he will say, we know this, Jesse, is that no, presidential immunity based on the Supreme Court ruling does not apply in this case. We're going to move forward and I'm going to sentence you September 18th. I still would be surprised if he did sentence him to prison. Even if he did on September 18th, it's going to go nowhere because his opinion for immunity will have to be appealed, et cetera. So it's just, and of course, on top of this, how compromised he is because of his daughter, Lauren Merchan, who has now raked in $13 million this year alone from Democratic candidates, including Adam Schiff, at the same time her father is presiding over this case and acting basically as an extra prosecutor for Alvin Bragg.
This is so nakedly corrupt. I just can't believe this is where we are now as a country. Okay, speaking of nakedly corrupt, let's talk about Judge Chutkan, because apparently something's coming for Trump tomorrow from that witch. What's happening?
Well, this was supposed to happen. Tomorrow was supposed to be the first status hearing since the proceedings were on hold since December of 2023, as the immunity order made its way to the Supreme Court. Well, Jack Smith had to come back last week and ask for a delay. So the hearing that was scheduled for tomorrow is now set for September 5th. The status report that she asked for last week has been delayed until August 30th. This is a real mess, Jesse, for DOJ and Jack Smith, of course, couldn't happen to a nicer group of people because now that Joe Biden has stepped down from running for re-election, whatever the DOJ comes back with in terms of conduct that's protected from immunity and is not, If Donald Trump wins the presidency, Biden's DOJ and special counsel have established what is protected conduct and what is not. This can clearly be turned around on Joe Biden very quickly. So they're really in a pickle trying to figure out how they're going to move the J6 case forward against Donald Trump in light of the immunity ruling, but not set up a track for themselves and Joe Biden if Donald Trump wins. That, I think, is the essence, the crux of why Jack Smith has asked to slow down the J6 proceedings in Washington.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit, Julie. Speaking of taking out Donald Trump, it seems like it was only yesterday. We were right before the convention. There would have been no official nominee yet, and a sniper came within 2 inches of blowing Trump's head off on live television. Could you please explain what the motive is of the shooter? Surely we know by now.
No one will know, Jesse. We may never know. He was a lone wolf, we're told, right? He acted on his own. Even though so much of this has the hallmarks of everything we've seen in these FBI entrapment schemes, explosive devices, his use of encrypted chats, which the FBI said they can't get into those chats, the use of a drone he was practicing at a shooting range, apparently used by Department of Homeland Security employees. Of course, that is under the purview of the Secret Service as well. So we're supposed to believe now that this 20-year-old acted on his own. Oh, and then they found some social media chatter from when he was a high schooler talking about being anti-immigration. But we've heard nothing since. We have heard nothing from the FBI since then. Because, of course, we all should suspect some federal involvement in entrapping or at least inciting Thomas Crooks to do what he did on July 13th.
Okay, speaking of which, Susan Crabtree, I want to make sure I give her credit. She reported that at a Trump rally in North Carolina, I think this was yesterday, one of the Secret Service agents who was supposed to be protecting him was breastfeeding her baby in the freaking conference room.
I mean, kudos to Susan Crabtree because she has excellent sources and she has stayed on top of this on almost an hourly basis. But I mean, there's no excuse for that. I mean, you know, if you're a nursing mom, we've been nursing moms, we understand the struggle and the challenge with that. You can't leave your post to go pump. Or, I'm sure she wasn't breastfeeding her baby, but probably pumping, I'm assuming. But this is crazy. And more proof that this agency, just like the FBI, just like DHS, just like DOJ, needs a full overhaul because they are choosing, you know, DEI hiring practices instead of the best way to secure their protectees.
Okay, Julie, let's get to some reporting that you've been doing on the pipe bombers, those elusive pipe bombers, or pipe bomber, who set a pipe bomb, allegedly, at the DNC and RNC. And this criminal mastermind, maybe we should start calling him the Jackal, has managed to invade law enforcement for years now. Wow, what is happening here?
Not only, Jesse, has this perpetrator, the MAGA bomber, we were told, who now came within 20 feet of perhaps killing Kamala Harris, who inexplicably, we still don't know why, left the Capitol at 11:15 that morning and went to the DNC for the day. We still don't have any information. No suspect has been arrested or identified. The media, Jesse, the J6-obsessed media has completely ghosted this story, including after the Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General issued his report a few weeks ago outlining all of the malfeasance again by the Secret Service and how close Kamala Harris came and the deleted text messages that you and I have talked about, all of the text messages from January 5th and 6th from 24 top Secret Service officials and agents, including Kim Cheadle, who was a Protective Services at the time, including James Murray, who was the Secret Service Director at the time. All those messages went poof. Then so did the MAGA bomber. He went poof in the night. Nobody can find it. We're still rounding people up, Jesse, by the way. The DOJ is still arresting people this week for January 6th, but they can't find the MAGA bomber. The media is ignoring it. Kamala Harris has never mentioned it. Joe Biden never mentions it. But now we have video that seems to demonstrate that this unidentified individual exited a DC Metro SUV at 12:51, 10 minutes after the RNC bomb was allegedly discovered, moved out of the sight line of where the video camera was, walked towards the area where the pipe bomb was discovered, and then left at about 12:53 from that frame, re-entering the DC Metro SUV. The pipe bomb is discovered about 15 minutes later.
Yeah, just a random pipe bomber who knows the field of view of the cameras in D.C. Do I have that right?
Well, not only that, Jesse, remember, we were told that by the FBI that the MAGA bomber planted those devices the night before. So we are expected to believe that bomb sniffing dogs, numerous agents and officials, including Secret Service agents, DC Metro, Capitol Police officers, pedestrian, passersby, security guards at DNC, they all missed this device sitting under a bush between two benches outside. But then somehow the genius plainclothes Capitol Police officer found it 15 minutes after this unnamed, unidentified individual walked towards that area, carrying a bag, by the way. Clearly, it seems to suggest very strongly that he planted that stunt device to initiate the panic that day, which is exactly what the pipe bombs did.
Julie Kelly, thank you. Her Substack is declassified. Go subscribe to it. Golly, all right. We need to lighten the mood. Let's do that next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And this country needs a lot more tough love than it currently is. I realize we don't want to be abusive, but didn't you notice people used to be more polite and respectful when parents would bring the hammer down when appropriate on children? Nothing lightens my mood more than a father squaring away his boy in his video games.
This cost me like $100. It's an expensive hobby.
I don't care. You got to get a job.
What is this achieve? What is this achieve? What does that mean? What is this gonna do? Mowing my games over. Maybe you'll quit playing for a while, get a job, pay some of your bills. I'm never gonna quit playing! He's having it!
No!
I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.